down with you.
3, 2, blast off.
Whee!
How's it going?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy you're here.
Thanks for inviting me on the show.
Yeah, I was excited to. It is the show, right? It's a show.
It's a show.
It's our little show. No, I was excited. We chatted. I guess you have a friend who wants some highlights, so we just.
I have two people who want to come see you because I've been getting so many compliments on the highlights that you put in my hair. Mm. This is a walking advertisement.
I love it.
Yes, and everybody thinks it's natural, that it's just sun, just being like beach and sun, which I do anyway.
Well, I do think it was a little while ago. I mean,
it was this winter. You did it for me to braid me because I was a little like dark storm cloud, and you're like, come here, Joel.
Yeah, let's throw some lightning up there.
And it worked. I was totally lightning.
But it does look pretty natural now because it's kind of, I guess we need to get you some more highlights. What?
No.
What's the matter? Just a few.
So anyway, so being a walking billboard,
yeah.
My aunt wants you to do her lowlights.
Okay.
And then my friend, who was just visiting from New York, was admiring the hair and thinking it was natural. And I was like, no, this is the genius of Tom. Do you go by Tom? This is something that I'm not sure about.
Sometimes you
go by Tom and sometimes you go by Dave.
I go by whatever people will call me.
Really?
But my name is David Thomas.
Oh.
So I didn't want to make the salon called David Thomas because I thought it would sound like the guy from Wendy's, the Dave Thomas salon.
Oh, I see that.
So I swapped Dave and Tom back. So now it's a Thomas David.
Uh-huh.
People go, who are you, Thomas or David? And I go, I'm both.
You're both.
So my dad is David Sr.
Oh.
I'm David Jr.
Okay.
And then my son David is David the Third.
Ooh-wee, look at that line.
So David, my dad David, goes by Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, me, I go by Tommy.
That's
what my mom called me.
I would never think to call you Tommy.
Yeah, no, I don't go by Tommy.
But you were a skater back in the day, too, right? So Tommy's a good name.
I wasn't a skater.
Surfer? You lived in San Diego.
I was on meth.
Oh. You were in a dark room somewhere with towels over the windows.
Absolutely. I was not skating, and I definitely was not surfing. I was struggling.
Oh, okay.
I mean, going to San Diego is my dad, they took me to San Diego. That's where the family moved. And, I mean, that was really one of the most least productive times of my life. One of the funnest, but as far as, like, being productive in life, not very productive. In fact, my parents took me out of there. If they hadn't, I probably would have become part of the system.
Mm.
So San Diego's great, but I definitely didn't surf. And I definitely didn't skate.
Okay, we got that clear.
Yeah.
All right, so you're Tommy.
But I did do BMX when I lived in New Mexico.
Oh, okay, so there's some wheels.
Yeah, there was WD-40 involved.
There's some wheels coming off of the ground doing tricks.
Absolutely. But, yes.
I knew it was in there somewhere.
But so I've always just gone by Tom because it was, you know, don't want two Davids in the house.
No.
So I've always been by Tom, but people do like to call me David, and I don't mind it.
Okay. Because I thought sometimes you went by David.
Mm-mm.
No, never?
Only if somebody calls me. And then
you know what it is? It's on some of your social media accounts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're on Facebook.
I go on and off. I'm like a light. On and off. Boop, boop.
Bing. Here, bye. Yep. Gone.
Hello, bye.
So when I first got on Facebook, I had a Facebook. And then I was posting a lot of pictures of, you know, I post a lot of pictures. Oh, snap.
Oh, my God, it sprayed like across the table.
Everything starts frying out.
It was thirsty.
Yeah, everything is low humidity in here. You got two drinks.
I do. We have the special kind, the ginger, lemon, the lime, and fresh mint. And then we have the drinky poo that you brought for me.
So is that just in water? Lime, ginger, and...
It's okay. So
what is the carrier?
Water.
Okay.
Yes.
Which is fine.
Spring water.
That's fine. It's great.
It's been charged in the sun.
It's awesome. Do you feel better when you drink it?
It's very refreshing.
Yeah, well, it looks good. I'm surprised you don't have a little cucumber in there.
Oh, that's a good idea.
A little sliced cucumber.
I'll make another batch and I'll put some cucumber. Thank you.
And lettuce.
It gets too soggy.
Yeah, that would be terrible. But the Facebook thing was, you know, you start off on Facebook, and then I felt like I was sick of it. But the problem with Facebook is, like, if you have a business like the salons under the salon Facebook page, you have to have a personal page to start, like, business pages. So
I know. Gifted Alchemy has the same thing.
Right. So I go, you know what? I'm getting rid of Facebook, but I want to keep my business. So yeah. I'm going to have just the David Facebook, and then I'm getting rid of the other one. But then I never got rid of it, and then I ended up with two Facebook pages. So it's a whole mess. But yes, there is a David out there.
Okay, I'm glad. Thank you for breaking that down for me, because this is a question I've had.
It's been bothering you.
Well, it hasn't been.
It's been bothering me. It's been. I mean, too much Facebook.
Oh.
I was doing another podcast this morning. And I was talking about it, and I'm like, I don't even know what to make of that shit.
The Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, all of it. Mm. You know, it's a, you know, people say, oh, we were in a time now, we have more information than ever, and we can get, you know, all the information that we want through, you know, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or, you know, whatever, news, social media. But, I mean, even when we were kids, I mean, you probably would get up and your dad would be reading the paper. You know, he'd be getting his information. We got information regardless if it was through Facebook or a newspaper. Some people had LA Times, the Wall Street Journal. You know, if you're really amazing, you had like three papers delivered. Mm. So the information's always been out there. I think the difference is we just don't have the platform to comment on it.
Mm.
Right? Hmm. I think that's where the trouble starts. Mm. Just like this person yesterday with his head tilted and that condescending look my ex-wife used to make and explaining to us how we're supposed to wear our masks. Mm. Not everybody's on board. Where's your mask?
It's in my bag. I have it. Do you want to see it? It's really cute.
Yeah, I do.
My mom was like, she went into like full-blown mask-making mode during all this. Oh, my God. Made masks for everyone, gave them out, had baskets of masks.
Can you get me a mask?
Yeah, I can get you a mask.
Is it going to be kind of cool?
It's kind of cute. They're cute.
Oh, I don't know about cute. Let me see how cute it is. I mean, cute for you.
Give me a moment to dig it out. See, look at this.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me put my glasses on.
That's just an example of one.
I love that.
Isn't that adorable?
It is.
So for the listeners,
I might need one. I need one more, a little more manly, though.
Yeah, no, she does manly, but she also does like funny ones.
It's almost
ones.
Like a bikini for your face. It's got like the knots, the bows.
I know. Well, because my mama bear made them.
She's so cute. Come here, little Julie. I made you a special mask.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you, Mama Bear.
That's pretty much how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. You're so lucky.
I know. I have she loves to make things.
Well, the mask things are a little weird, and they create a lot of interesting conversation. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it all.
I think it's funny where I go into a store and I want to take it off because I've arrived in the store.
Right.
You know, it's like protective. It's a, you know, like when you have your raincoat on or something, you go into the store and you're like, okay, I don't need this at the moment. I can take it off.
Right.
And so it's like, I go to take it off. I'm like, oh, no, I'm supposed to have it on.
Right. So you take off the raincoat when you get in, but you put on your mask.
Right.
Yeah. It's crazy. And then we're definitely blessed to live in a small town. Because, you know, I mean, besides the fact, the mask, I mean, we're almost kind of sort of back, kind of almost getting close to back to normal or kind of how it was.
I feel like summer is taking over and we're just all moving into summer mode. It's been so glorious out there. Yeah. You know, we want to be on the beach, but we want to be in the water.
I went to the beach for the first time yesterday. I hadn't been all year. It feels like we're like 8 months into summer.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least five.
Oh, full on.
And really, kids just got out of school. I mean, I think this is the first real week of summer.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. I thought everybody was off.
No.
It has felt so populated down there.
Well, so, you know, I feel like we've been having summer for a long time, and I haven't been partaking, but we finally went yesterday, and it was really nice, and people had kept space.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a ton of people, but they all had like 10 feet between them.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah.
Nobody got sick.
No.
I didn't see any masks.
Oh, no. People aren't masking on the beach.
No, they're not masking.
They're not. And the boardwalk doesn't really seem to be.
I rode the boardwalk this morning with a mask because I got stopped. Stop. You need a mask. I'm like, okay, fine. Here it is.
Right.
What do you think about the nose coming out?
Oh, I don't think that's quite what it was designed.
What's the point?
It makes me giggle, but I'm like, oh, that. Missing a step there.
Well, I mean, what is that? What's happening with the nose? Is there juice shooting out of it? I mean, what's going on with that, with the nose? I mean, is it spraying?
I think you nailed it right there.
Because I could tell you, nothing's coming out of my nose.
Right. I think it's if you were to cough or, you know, when you cough sneeze. Or sneeze, sometimes
there's, sure, you
there's
should
some juice. That's you so eloquently.
Nose juice.
Don't bottle that.
Don't bottle that. They'll carry you out of town with that nose juice. Well, the masks are, you know, it's to prevent moisture, obviously, from coming out of your face. And I just don't know. I'm over it.
I think we all are.
We're over it.
You know, like you try to talk to someone, it's like, you know.
Well, and then so
have you tried to eat anything or drink anything with your mask on?
No. Well, I moved the mask. I just pulled it down. But, you know, that was part of this guy's rant is like, you know, and then they, you know, when they talk to you, they pull the mask down so they can talk to you. You're defeating the purpose, people. It's like.
I think what it highlights is the full spectrum of people's opinions, their view.
Right.
And which, as much as there are people who want to control others, there are people who are uncontrollable.
Do you think it's, I mean, I haven't heard anything from Julie about this whole thing on Facebook or anything. So I think
because I was trying to be a solution.
Right.
You know, like I did the nightly offerings every single night. I heard people were stressed out that they were having trouble sleeping. And one thing I know about the bowls consistently is that if you do a sound meditation, it can help you sleep.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is something I can do every night as a gift to the community.
Well, and I've been working on my breathing and I don't know if people realize, you know, as a human, the human body is built with defenses and one of them being our nose.
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of lining and mucus.
Right.
And
our nose is full of hair.
I almost called it fur.
Yeah, fur.
You got hair.
Fur up and dar.
Depends on how old you are.
But it's more wiry.
The fur comes later in life, the fur.
More it's brillowy. It's like a broom sweeping the air. But it's what it is. That's what the nose is. I mean, it's got hair. It's juicy, full of juice to collect this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you blow your nose. So, you know, I mentioned this prior many podcasts ago, but, you know, back in the old days, you know, you used to carry around a kerchief.
Yeah.
And, you know, you would blow your nose. Uh-huh. I mean, I think, you know, a couple hundred years ago, you know, there was probably a real motion like, remember to blow your nose. I mean, collecting all this shit, you got to blow it out. And I think we forget about that. And breathing through your nose, like if I'm going into a place, I start breathing through my nose. You know, I'm collecting all that. That's my first line of defense.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I leave, I blow it.
Genius.
Let's bring blowing nose back.
You're dialed in. Yeah.
Kerchiefs.
Uh-huh. Do you have one?
No.
I was ready.
Well, I think they're, do you need a kerchief, ma'am? You know, that's how everybody.
Oh, that's so elegant, right? Yeah. When the lady has tears and the guy whips out a beautiful kerchief from his breast pocket.
Now a lady has tears and they whip out something else.
Yeah, they turn away.
Yeah.
Go deal with that over there, honey.
Well, and it's weird with the mask because we only see like half.
And then you put sunglasses on, and if you have a hat.
Am I mad at you?
I don't think you're mad at me.
No.
Did you just hear my throat gurgle from drinking the seltzer?
Can you tell how I'm feeling right now? No, it's disturbing. It's like texting. Now we text everybody and we removed half of everybody's face. We don't know anything.
Mm.
I had a girl sit in my chair the other day. I go, can you take your mask off? I can't tell if you're 50 or 17. She had like these young eyes, but she was an older lady. I'm like, I need to see your whole face. I need to know, you know, who I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And once she took her mask off, I'm like, and she clearly wasn't 17, but I couldn't tell from the lower, from her lower half of her face being missing. I couldn't tell how old she was. It was very weird. So, shall we start a new revolution? Bring back hugs and get rid of masks.
Ooh, I like hugs. I miss hugs.
Yeah, hugs are weird. I mean, we've abandoned them.
Aww.
And handshakes.
Yeah. Have you seen that billboard in Dewey? It says, rest in peace, handshakes.
No, but it makes sense. It's terrible. I hate it.
And it's funny I still have that impulse to, like when I introduce myself, to reach out and shake my hand. I'm like, oh, I'm not supposed to do that. Sorry.
Well, and then there's kind of like this secret community. I'm shaking. Oh, you are? Okay, shake. Or I'm hugging.
Oh, I knew that would develop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I have clients all day. I go, first of all, I go, are you masking? Hell no. I go, okay, are you hugging? Yes.
Oh.
So, you know, I think secretly people want to get back to living.
Absolutely.
And but the second wave's coming. Just not here.
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, I that's what they're
saying.
I
ominous music, need to say.
It's like, but here we are.
And here
you've
we
been,
are.
And
exactly.
You've been, and you got through this whole thing. I know you've been doing your bowls. First of all, I have to ask you, yes. Did we find the bowl?
Did we find the bowl?
Wasn't there a bowl that was missing?
The bowl is being repaired, that
The
bowl?
Repaired bowl.
Yeah.
Did you find it?
There are rumors of it being repaired.
It's just, still being repaired.
Yeah. That they got Yeah. Yeah. It hasn't shown up yet. I've reached out and I haven't heard anything back. And
I think he broke it.
No.
You know?
No.
Well, what's the problem?
I don't know.
I mean, he's going to start taking pictures around the country with this bowl.
That'd be really funny.
Imagine if he put those kind of squiggly eyes on the bowl.
I love that idea.
And he just is like, hey.
Hey.
Vegas. I mean, why didn't he give you your bowl back? I'm really concerned. Do we have a number for him? Let's call him on the air.
Oh, no.
Let's call him and ask him where the bowl is.
Oh, I don't want to put him on the spot.
No, don't. I'm just kidding.
That's a great idea, though. I like it. Playfulness. Oh, speaking of calls, here comes a call.
I did. Who the fuck's FaceTiming me? Sorry. I did float yesterday.
Yay.
I didn't listen to bowl music, though.
You didn't? No.
No.
You didn't do an elixir?
No. Carlos. Oh, shit. Carlos put on Nature Sounds and Guitar.
Did you like it?
It was okay.
How long did you float? Did you make it for the hour?
This is like a story around the float center. Is he going to make it? I did not make it an hour.
But was it like... Talk to me about. I love talking about floating. So
okay.
Tell, like, break it down. I want the blow by blow experience here.
You know, Carl. You know, I've got Carlos running now.
Yes.
So he was not a runner.
No.
But he was miserable.
Oh.
So I said, you know, why don't you run with me? You know, he's kind of miserable already. I mean, you might not see this side of him, but
he can let that out with you, though, yeah, right? Safe.
But when you make him run at 6 in the morning, he's quite miserable.
Oh.
So I say, we're getting the demons out. But we've been doing a lot of running. He went from not running to running 3 days a week, 5 miles at a pop, nonstop.
I have been tracking your runs on social media.
Yeah.
Because they're cute.
Yeah.
It's fun to think of you two out running like first thing in the morning. I like it.
He's like, don't take my picture. Don't take my picture. I'm like, dude, you know you want your picture taken. Don't take it. So yesterday on Father's Day, we ran and I took the picture and it's of us and it's me. And then Carlos's head's under the blanket. Like, he's like, I don't want my picture taken. But yeah, he's a riot. But we've been doing a lot of running and he's been floating and I have had trouble finding the time to get over there and float. So I made the time yesterday and I went and floated and I've had to kind of change my feelings a little bit. You know, like you or Carlos, I mean, you guys get in there and you could sleep all day.
It's like heaven.
I can't even fall asleep at all. So I get a little consumed by that. Like, oh my God, I'm not falling asleep. And so yesterday I said, I just need to lay in this salty water and get some recovery because I've been doing a lot of running. And we really have. I mean, we went from running one day a week to we're now running 3 days a week and biking. So I was like, I just am doing this for the recovery. So I just laid there in the water and recovered.
Wonderful.
And it was great.
Could you feel your body releasing and relaxing as it supported weightlessly? It's
no.
Okay if you don't.
I don't know. How's that feel?
It's like a leaf, like unfurling. Like, it's just like, it's just like.
So do you get pretty wound up?
Do I get pretty wound
up? Yeah.
Not anymore.
So when you're in floating, I mean, or when you go floating, do you feel that really? See, that, and I tell Carlos this, you know, he's like, you got to be at peace and all this stuff. And I'm like, I feel like I'm that way really throughout the day, you know, whether it's getting sober or just trying to manage my life. You know, at some point I have to just kind of stay in the moment. You know, he's like, stay in the moment. I'm like, I try to stay in the moment all the time anyway. Yeah. So it's not this big moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be.
Oh,
it doesn't. I want to slip off and, like, he's like, oh, yeah, I slept right through it.
I've never slept in there. I have forgotten who I was and where I was during a float, which is wonderful. It was amazing.
You said that? Who am I?
And I found that there's one sound elixir that I did, and I called it meditation. And I find that if I listen to that the entire time, I forget who I am and where I am. And it's just, I just...
See, I want to forget. I want to lose track of where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
I want that.
Mm.
And I got in yesterday and I really focused on my breathing through my nose, listening to the sounds. It was nice. I definitely felt better once it was all done. My back, I've been having a lot of problems with my back. My back felt good. It's definitely a great recovery.
Yeah, yeah.
I just am not going into the stratosphere yet.
Yeah, and I think that comes. And I wonder also, too, where your mind goes, too.
Yeah.
If your mind... I find that focusing on pleasurable things
helps. Well, that's the other thing. You're floating around that thing naked.
I didn't necessarily mean pleasurable as far as sex goes. Like, I know like I that's to, where that goes.
Yeah, I mean, I have to, like, kind of, you know, avoid some... rooms, you know, I have to try to stay because, you know, you're laying there naked.
You are. You're vulnerable. You're
vulnerable.
Oh, man. It's just such a wonderful time to surrender and just feel like I am.
I agree.
I'm just going to be cradled right now.
Well, and I think that sometimes I'll not take a cold enough shower because I don't like a cold shower.
Oh, they're wonderful.
Right. Well, you're great. I'm not at it. I'm not great at it. Yeah, I'm still
not like I'm great or you're not
well,
great.
Well, I, you know, like yesterday, I took a warm shower and then I turned it to cold and then just stayed under it in the cold.
Uh-huh.
Like I can't just jump in the cold shower.
It's a little dance.
Yeah. So I cooled my temperature down and then I got in. It was nice. I mean, I had a great time. I love floating. I wish I had more time for it.
Mm.
I wish it was like 15 minutes and you got all that.
Mm.
But it's, you know, it takes a little longer, an hour.
Maybe you're just getting it faster than the rest of us. Did you ever consider that?
No, I'm not getting it. getting it faster. I'm terrible at it. In fact, I feel bad about it. Like yesterday, Carlos and I both floated. He was clearly in one room, I was in another. And I was like, okay, I think I made it. I don't know. So I finally just got up and got in the shower and then I came out and sat down. And he was still in there and I said, I'm out of here because, you know, I had to do some other stuff. He called me later. He's like, how far did you make it? I go, I think I made about an hour. I go, but, I didn't get prompted. You know, your float is over, whatever it says. And he goes, well, I only set your float for 45 minutes, so you didn't even make it 45 minutes. I'm like, geez. So now I feel bad about that. So I need to, it's crazy.
Let all that go.
Let it go.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm glad, you know, I remember when we were going through this whole thing and he's like, you know, I hope we get people back. I go, dude, you have a great product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people will be back.
Well, it's so funny because the app broke because it wasn't used to staggering appointments like that. So when I like to text in.
Right.
So I sent them a message and they're like, we are booked until beginning of July. And please call for an appointment. I was like, that's awesome. Everybody's so excited that Urban Float is open, that right. Everybody's floating. Like, all the appointments are taken. And then I would hear from people who float. They're like, Joel, you just got to call.
Well, because they're trying to.
Took me, I had to get over myself, get over my own thinking. And then I finally called. And yeah, Carlos said it hasn't been that busy. So I've been making float dates with people. Like, come on, let's go float.
Yeah. Well, it's been busy, but I think there's periods where it's quiet. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's tough, like, even with the salon, you know, you have to, this is one thing I've been, you know, talking about in another podcast, is really being patient with other people, you know, because we're not all stupid like me and want to take off my mask and feel like this is nothing, you know, some people are very frightened. So you have to be patient about that. And that's what Carlos is doing, and people are slowly coming back. But, like, I'll have people come back to the salon. They're like, why didn't you call me? Like, just wanted to, you know, it's your time. I don't want to pressure you.
Ease back in.
Yeah, just, you know, whatever you want to do. I had a guy call the cops on me because I wouldn't wear gloves.
Goodness.
That was a little extreme.
Where did that happen? Is that a story that you want to share? Or?
Yeah, I'll share. I've shared it.
Or do you?
No, I'll tell you. So it was a week ago Saturday, and a guy came into the salon, and he said, and it was like 7:50. His appointment was at 8. I was making coffee. I didn't have a mask on. I didn't have anything on. I mean, I didn't have any PPP stuff on. And he's like, are you going to be cutting my hair with a mask and gloves? And I said, let me get my mask. I'll cut your hair with a mask. I'm not wearing gloves. He goes, well, I guess you can't cut my hair. I said, I respect that. I have respect that, sir. Have a great day. And off he went. A couple hours later, the state police showed up because he called them and told them I didn't have a mask on and that I wasn't wearing gloves. And when I did not have a mask on, I didn't actually have to have one on. I mean, I wasn't working on anybody. I was just making coffee. It was just, you know, I felt like it was pretty shitty, but the cop was like, you know, and I said, my position is, listen, if you're that sick, if you're that worried about it, don't come to the salon, you know, stay home if you're that concerned. And she's like, couldn't agree more, sir. Couldn't agree more. And, so, you know, but I had his number, and I felt like, you know, I'm going to call this guy. I'm going to let him have it. And that's where I had to remember about being patient, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is that got this guy going, I have to be okay with it.
Right, because it's not about you.
It's not about me.
Yeah.
And but, you know, sometimes, especially in times like this, you know, I want to make it about me.
You do?
I mean, you know. If I wasn't in the place where I'm at today, going through all the stuff that I've gone through, I would have absolutely called his ass and told him, you know, ha-ha, didn't get me, you know, something. I would have absolutely opened my mouth about it. And today I'm like, yeah, it's not important.
No.
It's not important.
Isn't that wonderful to let go of that drama and that?
It is wonderful because, shit, I could be wallowing in that for months.
It's not worth it.
No. Well, and it's the same thing with, like, guns and shit that's going on. You know, everyone's like, oh, I need to get a gun. And I'm like, for what? What are you going to do? Are you going to carry it? Carrying your gun? You know, and then what, now we're justified? You know, if someone doesn't like what we do or someone walks through your yard, now we're carrying a gun, now what, we shoot them? Well, you know, I'll protect my family. I can't think of, how many times have you, like... Would your life been different if you would have just had a gun?
It would have been a lot messier.
Right. Exactly.
There would have been a lot more cops involved.
Oh, my God. Gun bad.
There would be a lot of blood. Yeah. Well, or maybe not. I don't know. Maybe I'd be dead if I had a gun.
Exactly. That's also been a thought. I mean, there's been times in my life where if I'd had a gun, I may have used it on myself. Not good. I remember when I was getting sober back in 1997, and I used to have this handheld crossbow. You know, it was like a little bow and arrow, but it was on a pistol grip kind of thing, and you pull the thing back, and then put a little bolt in it, and it would shoot into the wall. And I would consider shooting that into my head.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Right. But that's, you know, I was drinking, I was sad, it was a very low point in my life, and I'm like, I don't want to shoot this into my head, though. You know, what if it just went halfway in or something? Oof. So it would be something I would consider. I've always had this fear of, like, my kids getting a hold of a gun and shooting themselves or something accidentally. I would be horrified. You hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
No guns?
Well, I haven't let's see. I do believe in the Second Amendment, and I do believe that should be protected.
Me too.
I guess I have a complicated relationship with guns. It started off because I watched Charlie's Angels growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And that glamorized it, right? And like, I wanted to be a Charlie's Angel. And that was how I would play as a kid. I didn't play like nurse or teacher. Like, I played Charlie's Angels with like a little pistol, like a little BB pistol.
Which angel were you?
What? Oh, I was...
Kate?
No, I didn't get Farrah. I didn't get Kate until... No, Kate, like Farrah was Jacqueline. Another world.
Jacqueline.
Yes.
It was a great show.
I love how she was like vulnerable, that one. She would get herself into some messes, which I can definitely relate to. And then one of my... So I actually went on a date with a guy I dated up in New York. And his brother was... involved in a gun club in New Jersey. And so that was a date that he took me on. And I got to try all sorts of different guns, ranging from a Glock to a 22.
Hmm.
And like, I remember holding it in my hand and just feeling all of a sudden the gravity of it, that it was a weapon and that I could get hurt even just learning how to shoot in a range. And I also didn't like how it covered my hand in powder.
Yeah.
And I also really like the 20, like the Glock is too big for me, but like the 22, like I had some sort of, that felt a little bit more approachable for me and more fun. And it was funny because I was also with a friend of mine and she, you know, she was a badass and she was like, we're not a 22 kind of crowd. And I was like, well, I might be a 22 kind of crowd.
I'm all right with 22.
And it's funny too, because one of my best friends, like, so like fast forward. So that was like my first introduction to actual live ammunition and guns. And I walked away tempered, you know, like with respect for the instrument and I wasn't quite as excited by the idea of having my own gun. And like the romanticism of it was gone.
Yeah.
Which I think is healthy, which I think is good. And then fast forward to the story where I'm back in Delaware and I have a person who is threatening my life, threatening my family's lives. And I have sought out, there's a guy up in Milford who teaches self-protection and he wanted me to get carry and conceal license, and he wanted me to be trained. And apparently, there are Navy SEALs here who train.
Yeah.
And I was actually interested in learning like the proper training, but I didn't get to that part of my training. And also, the guy who was threatening my life disappeared, which is great because there was no bloodshed.
No need to shoot him.
Right. Yeah. And then fast forward just a couple weeks ago, I reconnected with a dear friend of mine from Seattle, who now lives in Las Vegas, which is, she lives near Front Sight. Have you heard of Front Sight?
No. I've heard of Frontier. Frontier, was that a hotel? I don't know. I've been to Vegas a couple times, but okay. I don't know if that is.
There is a training facility outside of Vegas where they train you how to use
guns.
And they were running this special during the coronavirus that you could do their 4-day handgun training for free. Mm. You just have to pay for, you have to bring your own gun, rent your gun, and you have to pay for your own ammunition. And I'm not sure about what else is included. But Ramona and I were thinking that would, because like we go on adventures together.
Yeah.
And we just thought, and she's all in, like she wants, because she lives right there, so she can take advantage of all the facilities and learn all the different trainings. And she just got a gun. And there was part of me like that would be fun to go with one of my best friends, get the training. Who knows who I would meet out there? I'd meet some interesting people for sure. And their whole thing is about proper education.
Well, I definitely think educating people with guns is probably definitely important. I you know, when we went through all these riots and this, remember when they were going to have the protest at the outlets, I'm like, fuck, you know, we should have our guns. This is a civil war. You know, it was like,
oh,
all these weird feelings start coming up. And, you know, I'm afraid of me probably with a gun. I think that's what I'm afraid of, because I'm afraid that, all of a sudden where maybe a conversation or just like, take it, you know, it's just stuff instead of, boom, I'm going to shoot you because now it's justified, you know, because I'm protecting myself. You know, I wonder how many people shoot people and wish they hadn't.
I'm sure it's quite a few.
Have regret.
Yeah, I mean, that's real.
Yeah, I mean, that's fucking, you
know. Wow.
Just like those guys that, you know, with all the shit that's going on with these cops and these guys, you know, they shot that guy. He took the taser. They were justified, I suppose, because he'd taken their taser. But I wonder if the next day the guy's like, God, I wish I'd rather not have shot him and killed him. He's dead. You know, is it worth it?
Right, and I think what you're getting into there is the distinction between the gun as a weapon and then versus what is the mentality operating the gun. And I think that's the part that needs to be looked at. I think it's misplaced focus when you're talking about guns specifically. It's like, no, what is operating in somebody's mind to feel justified in shooting someone? They deserved it. Like, they were protecting themselves. Like, I think that's the wound that needs healing.
Right. I was saying to when I was living in San Diego, I somebody hit my car at a bar, and I called the cops. The cops came, and you know, they're like, "We can't do anything about this. This is private property. It's a bar parking lot." I'm like, "Fuck that!" You know, I went off. You know, drunk, annoying, and they arrested me, drunk in public, and I was like, you know, I was calling them everything in the book, and. You know, they called ahead, and when we got to the jail, I got out. They removed me from the car, and they beat me. And I was like, I deserve that. You know, I've always felt like that was just casualties of war. Like, I totally ran my mouth. They beat me, and that was that. But now I look back at it, and I'm like, you know, should they have beat me? I mean, regardless of whether I deserved it, but. Should they have known better? Like, yeah, this guy's drunk. He's going to call us names. We need to be like, whatever. And we escort him to a cell and let him drink, sleep it off. But they beat me. They took it personally. And that's the part I think that I never even really thought about that. You know, I was like, that's just me being an asshole. But I guess that is kind of what's becoming the problem, it seems. It's just this behavior that's going on that's maybe... Like when somebody comes out of a car and they have a knife and all these guns come out on them. I mean, what are they going to shoot the guy? I mean, I feel like if a gun comes out, it's almost like you have to use it or something. I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird time right now. I'm all about educating and learning about guns, though. But if I got my concealed carry, then I'd have to carry it. And I'd be like the only hairdresser with a big-ass fucking Glock.
Would you get a Glock?
I don't know. Of course.
To me... Being uncomfortable generally around guns like that thing's a beast.
Well, I don't think I'll never forget drinking in New Mexico, and I worked for this guy Ken, and he was a gun guy, and we were drunk, and we went out to the desert, and we went to go out and shoot guns in the night, mm-hmm. drunk, and he had that big, you know, Clint Eastwood silver Colt 45, that big cannon.
Whoa.
And I remember I lined it up and boom, and I have my freaking ears.
Oh, that's the other thing too.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, it's so loud.
Oh my God, my ears. So I was not only was I drunk, but my ears were like, meh. I'm like, I'm going insane. I'm going crazy. It was crazy.
And the weapons have impact, right? Like you feel the impact when they.
Yeah, this gun almost dislocated like my punched. Arm. I was like. It was a huge gun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was like, I don't like guns. I need a cool little pew, 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 pew.
Laser gun?
Yeah, laser. Dart gun.
A cat laser gun?
The one that shoots salt.
Shoots salt?
Have you seen that?
No.
They sell like this cool little gun, and it's, I think it's CO2, but it shoots rock salt. Mm. And you shoot flies.
Oh.
Yo, bros, zip it. Pew. Hey. Put some salt in my leg. Well, I didn't really mean to go down that.
No, it's interesting. Like, that's
that
nothing.
Highway.
I have never been public about my views of guns.
Well, but all that's going on is creating, like, fear and making people want to get guns. And I'm not sure
that's the first red flag right there. Is it fear-based?
It's fear-based.
Then it's not to be entertained.
Right. But... I mean,
you can see what's underneath of it, but the fear itself isn't worth engaging in.
Right, but there's a lot of people that, you know, they think that guns
they're not the answer.
Yeah, but they say we don't fix them, we're headed towards like a civil war.
They've been saying that for years. I mean, like, let's just stay in this moment right here, like right here, right now.
Right now.
You and I.
Me and you.
Are sitting at this table. We've got mics in front of us.
We're safe.
Yeah.
Do you feel like...
Look, there's like pretty trees out there.
Well, and half of Americans couldn't run a fucking cross a field and put a musket on a fence post anyway. That's not patriotic, right?
Yeah, it's just such a funny image. That's what I'm laughing.
Okay. Never mind. I need my inhaler. Well, I think that's what this, another thing is that has been exposed is this country is really not taking very good care of themselves.
Mm-mm.
We're in trouble.
Are we in trouble right here in this table? Or do you feel that you're in trouble?
No, I just mean like, you know, we also have a heartburn problem in this country. But instead of like addressing what we eat and how we eat, we make Prilosec.
Mm.
Prilosec's like one of the number one selling prescription drugs in the world.
Oh, wow.
Because of people have heartburn. So, you know, everybody's like, well, we're just going to wear these masks and we're just going to be like this until they come up with a vaccine, till we get the shot that's going to fix it. I'm like, why don't we start addressing about maybe getting some exercise and eating better and, you know.
Which you're doing yourself. You're getting exercise.
I am, but.
You're floating, taking up the.
I'm not perfect at it, but I'm definitely trying to be better, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the conversation that nobody wants to fat shame anybody or make someone feel bad about how they look. But, you know, we have, I think a lot of people that passed from this COVID thing were out of overweight, hypertension, diabetes, old age. I mean, there was a lot of factors. I don't know. No one's talking about that. Let's get healthy. Come on. Float. Do you exercise?
I do.
You're skinny.
I did. I burned off my COVID 15 or whatever
it was.
Did you
put on 15?
I didn't. I don't think I put on 15, but I definitely, there was a little extra jewel hanging out.
Hey. Well, I think I did the COVID 20.
Thankfully for summer, you know. And I had a wonderful walking partner. We would take socially distant walks through either on the beach or in the parks, and we would walk for 2 or 3 hours a day.
Nice.
And now that it's lovely out and the north wind isn't blasting, I can get on my bike and not feel like the Wicked Witch of the West. Against the wind.
What is your what is your demon? What gets you?
Oh, well, during COVID, I
know that apple thing you make is pretty deadly.
It's, but that's all fruit. That's so good for you.
It's got some special stuff in it.
It's got special
like
flavor crystals, honey, in the name of honey and cinnamon.
Well, I mean, and I think something like that delicious probably should probably fit in your palm of your hand if you're going to eat a portion, right?
I eat primarily fruit and.
All right, then what's your demon? What gave you the extra jewel?
During COVID, I made a lot of cookie dough. I was working on this recipe for eggless. It still had like high quality butter, like the good kind from Finland.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. And I was using coconut sugar. I wasn't using any other sugar. And then I was flavoring it with lime and putting dark chocolate chips in it. Oh. It was so good.
Spilled over.
And then, like, you know, like how like flour disappeared. So like I would be able to find the tiny little packets of flour, and then I would buy one and like work my way through it and promise myself that was the only one. The next thing I knew, I was at a grocery store. I'd be like, whoop, there's another one like in my cart.
Does it hurt your stomach at all, or is it just a complete smooth ride? Because listen, we make my kids love cookies. And I'll make them these, you know, like the kind, like, you know, whatever, Pillsbury chocolate chip cookies.
I know, but that's full of chemicals, Tom.
Yeah, and I feel like shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally feel like shit after I eat those cookies.
Oh, no.
So you don't feel bad after you eat these cookies?
Well, there's the mental component of, like, I wish I didn't do this. But it was such a phase. It was such a phase.
And then happened a few times.
I also like potato chips.
Okay.
Oh.
Butts.
No.
Red bag?
No. Although I do have a soft spot for the Hers, the red bag, the ripples. Like, that's a classic potato chip to me.
Sour cream and onion dip?
No, they're a little too, like, you know, the flavor. You can taste it for hours afterwards. Doesn't matter if you brush your teeth.
You're
like, not enough coated.
You can't brush that
you
away.
You can't brush the inside.
That's a serious setting. That's a binge.
No, they're, what, I don't even remember. It's probably Kettle. And they make, I can only find them at the Giant down in Ocean View. And it's like potato chips with Himalayan salt cooked in avocado oil. And it's a smaller portion. It might be only 16 ounces instead of 20, but, you know, that's a serving, right?
Can you tell the difference with the avocado oil?
Yeah, it's more like, it's like, yeah.
I love potato chips, and I like the Utz. Utz with the red, just potato chips.
Yeah.
They're delicious.
I haven't had those in a really long time. I might need to be introduced.
I'll have to get you a sack. Sack of chips.
Sack. Just like a little pouchy poo.
A bag. Backpack full.
No sacks of potato chips, please.
It's delicious. Between the cookies and the
potato chips. And the other funny thing is I crave pizza. Like pretty much like the second we got locked down, I was like, I want a pizza. But I didn't want to order a whole one for just me.
Right.
And so that was an unscratched itch for a while. So until I figured out that Touch of Italy, theirs is like a little smaller.
And they'll do a half pizza?
No, I can have like a couple slices and put it away.
Do you like Louis? No?
I do.
Yeah, Louis. I mean, let's have a pizza conversation.
That's a slice right there.
Yeah. What's your favorite pizza?
Down here? I haven't met it yet. I've heard about Mancini's. I'm going to try Mancini's.
Where's that?
That's in Fenwick. Okay. But you're saying like local, like where we're only staying like Louis.
Yeah, like Louis, Nicola's, Pete's, Pat's.
A lot of them I haven't had. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that I'm a Sussex County girl, and I was raised on Grotto.
Okay.
And so Grotto, it's like people love it or they hate it. Like for me, it's nostalgia, and it's not my go-to pizza. Like my go-to pizza probably is now Touch of Italy. Like that is scratching the itch real good.
Where's that?
There's one in Rehoboth.
And they have pizza.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do. And you know whose I'm in love with now is Blue Hen makes a veggie pizza. It is so, oh my God, it's artichoke hearts with the good green olives, like the bright green olives.
Yeah.
And they are generous.
Where is this place?
Blue Hen is on Wilmington and 2nd in the.
By Confucius?
Down the street, closer to the ocean, as part of the hotel.
Oh, so if you're headed towards the beach on the right.
Towards the beach on the left. It's on the north side of the street.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, on the left.
Okay.
Sometimes I get my... doesn't matter. 20 years of being a massage therapist, like right, left.
Well, I was wondering... I mean, I'm just trying to picture it because
it's set kind of in. There's outdoor seating.
Okay.
They have like a bonfire area.
I love Confucius, so I'll have to go down there and check it out.
But the veggie pizza has ringing my bell.
Okay.
At Blue Hen.
How'd you find about this? I mean, what's...
My younger sister was recently in town, and she loves to eat out. Mm. And the place she was, she was doing Whole30, so she wasn't eating any dairy or anything. So she was calling around trying to find a crab cake because that's her love, without any wheat or any dairy in it. And Blue Hen fit the bill, so she was able to get her no filler crab cakes.
So
and the
just,
only thing that really I wanted to eat was.
So what is a crab cake without dairy and without wheat? Crab? Uh-huh. Well, I mean, what do you replace? Because it's like mayonnaise and breadcrumbs, sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah, mayonnaise.
I mean, so that's kind of the filler. Mm-hmm. Mayonnaise is dairy.
No, because it's egg and olive oil.
So mayonnaise is fine, but no breadcrumbs. So really, you're looking for like a gluten-free breadcrumb?
Or no filler. Maybe it's just mayonnaise and crab meat.
Mayonnaise
and seasoning.
Crab. Okay, because you got to kind of...
I know, they're small, you know.
They are.
If you can't, like...
I'm not a big fan of crab cakes. I don't know why. I don't even really like crab.
That might be why you don't like crab cakes.
But it's kind of like Grotto's. I mean, if I sit down and someone's having a crab feast and they got crabs, I'll eat crabs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind them. Mm-hmm. They're good. Mm-hmm. But I'm not like, oh, I need a crab cake. You know, I could completely take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Grotto's, it's funny you bring that up because... I don't like Grotto's.
No, most people...
You put Grotto's in front of me? I mean, the hell out of that pizza.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah. It's delicious. It's like, what's my problem? I think Grotto's is about $3 too expensive. Like, if my kids get Grotto's, it's like $30.
Yeah, it was better when it was, like, just cheap. A dollar a slice.
Yeah, so I think that the money, you know, if something's like a dollar or $2 more, I'm like, fuck it. Forget it. But it's good.
I don't want you.
No. But if we go to, like, there's a lot of kids' parties, and you end up taking your kid, and they're like, you can have some pizza. And you're like, all right. Who ate all the pizza?
Not me.
My favorite place to eat pizza used to be, and I forget the name, of course, but you know where Staples is?
Mm-hmm.
So if you went down and then around the corner, there was this little pizza shop that was right there, kind of by the jewelry, and there was like a sports store there.
Yeah.
I forget the name, but man, they used to have some great pizza. Someone said they're out on 24 now.
Oh, that's worth hunting down again.
Yeah, it was good. Greasy.
Ooh.
Oily.
Oh.
Yeah, just heart stopper.
Oh.
Like Louie's.
Yeah.
But that's all, I think, just great ingredients.
Mm. So, lots of cheese.
So your first, so you think your first favorite place is Grotto's?
No, not like me today.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I am all about the veggie pizza at Blue Hen.
Blue Hen isn't even a pizza place, though.
Okay, fine. I can't answer that. You know, I haven't been to, I heard that if you get a slice from, there's so many places I haven't tried.
Okay, let's do this. How do you like Nicola's?
I like Nicola.
Yeah.
I like Nicola, like old Nicola, like First Street Nicola.
Yeah.
You sit in the sit in the tables when you first come in, you're a little elevated.
Up in the window?
Yeah, up in the window. I guess get a nice
the train.
Thing. Yes. Oh, see, so much of the pizza down here is nostalgic for me.
Right.
Cuz I grew up down here.
Right. So do you like the Nicoboli?
Yeah, I do. I stopped eating meat.
Oh my God.
I know. It was totally spontaneous. It's completely unplanned. It just kind of happened.
Do you like that? I mean, has it improved or has it been?
It just freaks me out. I don't know.
Meat?
Ugh.
Oh no.
Flesh.
Ugh. Flesh.
I can't
it's not
do
flesh,
it.
It's meat. We have flesh. Everything else is just meat.
Yeah, call it what you want.
Yeah.
It's still dead animal.
Well, we watched, it's funny that we talk about that because we've been watching this. I think it's on Netflix. It's called Alone. And these, I think it's like 10 people that get dropped off up in the Arctic.
Oh, my God.
In different places. There's like a big lake up there, and they're kind of all dropped off around it, sort of. But they can't reach one another. They can't even see one another. And, you know, it's whoever the survives the longest wins. I think it was like $500,000. And, you know, it's interesting that, like you can't survive on rabbit so lean. You know, when it's time to be, like, in the wild and survive, you know, everything here, like, we don't want any fat. We want everything lean, no fat. But if you don't have fat in the wild, you die. Like, you just can't survive on rabbit because rabbit's such a lean meat. There's no fat to it. You starve to death eating rabbit. You starve to death eating moose because there's not enough. This guy shot a moose, one of the only guy to get a moose, shot it with an arrow, and he had to store all the fat. You know, it was important for him to get the fat. This wolverine came and stole all the fat that he had stored. So he basically was just left with lean moose meat, and he was starving to death eating this meat. So it's just interesting when, you know, back in the wild, how fat and, you know, like you can't survive really on just greens. You need protein. So start eating meat.
No.
Julie.
Mm-mm.
Come on.
Not going to do it.
Eat the meat. Frog legs?
My word, no.
Seagull sticks?
I have had seagull sticks.
Seagull sticks? Come on. Breaded seagull sticks?
Oh, that's something I never even considered. That's
we
hilarious.
Need to throw you out in the wild for a while. You'd be like, okay, I'll eat
I
some meat.
I have lived in the wild.
Is fish meat?
Yes.
You're not eating that either?
Nope. No aminols.
How long has this been going on? As soon as you hit that 15?
No, it was completely spontaneous. A friend of mine read me a verse or a passage, and he didn't know it was going to have this effect on me either, but a friend of mine read me a passage from...
was it Jesus?
From Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a Sanskrit text. And he read it to me, and the next thing I knew, I was like, I'm done with meat.
Can you find it? Because I want to see if it has the same effect on me. Was this guy handsome, Julie?
It was nothing like that.
You're like, oh my God, you're an amazing fella.
No.
Give up meat.
No, it wasn't. He didn't even know it. It was just.
Can you find it?
Let me see.
Can you find it?
I don't know.
We started watching Into the Wild.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen that movie?
No. I know the premise, though.
It's really good.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
Eddie Vedder does the whole soundtrack.
We love some Eddie Vedder around here, don't we? These are our parts.
Love Eddie Vedder.
Yeah.
Well, he does a great job. I mean, the songs he sings and that whole... I mean, that movie must be 15 years old now.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see a guy that just basically, you know, his whole thing is that the hypocrisy of life, you know, the life that we live, kind of. And I feel like there's been, it's kind of weird that we're kind of going through it now, the hypocrisy, you know, like, especially with this, you know, like protests, you know, like the NFL, no taking a knee. And then, you know, the whole world flips out and we're protesting everything. Now the NFL's like, oh, of course you can take a knee. It's like, where was your stance before? I mean, why did you even not let them do that before? And now you flip your script a bit. It's just, it's weird.
I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the hypocrisy makes me not want to be interested. It's like, she's just all full of shit.
Hmm.
So I agree.
So focus, I don't know, I've just shifted my focus to things that are more...
positive?
Satisfying.
Yes.
To my soul.
Yes. I agree. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Did you find it?
Oh, no. I texted, because he has one of those minds that remembers. I'm like, do you remember which which passage it was?
That got me off meat.
It was so funny.
The magical meat.
But who knows if it'll have the same effect on you. It was completely spontaneous. No one knew this was happening.
Well, I've had moments where I've thought I've wanted to stop eating meat.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely have considered it. I've tried only eating chicken
mm-hmm.
and not red meat.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'm not angry at meat right now.
Good. So don't be.
Yeah, no. I'm just...
Yeah. What happened for me, I don't
mean that you're angry at me.
I don't judge other people for, I mean, like, I, that's the other thing too, that I find creates a tremendous amount of stress and tension in my own system. When I judge someone else for their choices, right. It's like, okay, that hurts. I don't like the way that feels. Sorry.
Well, part of it I think is I'm jealous, you know, that you're like, I'm not going to eat meat and you do it. I'm like, I can't really do that.
It wasn't a decision. It just happened.
Right. Well, you had to make some. I can go get you some meat right now. We'll see if you may.
No, thank you.
We just cooked a bunch of steak this week, and it was so good.
Yeah, you posted a picture of, was it recently your wedding anniversary or your birthday or something? And you posted, like, these big, huge pieces of meat, and I was like.
Did you delete me?
No.
Did you block me?
No.
You put the meat block up?
Meat blocker. I need to.
Well, you know, it's I'm always fascinated, but whether, you know, we like meat or don't like meat, it's just in cooking and cooking steaks. And I've always, you know, I grew up cooking shit on a grill. Put it on the grill. It's such a terrible way to cook stuff.
Really?
Well, I mean, it cooks it. But I've started cooking everything in a skillet, an iron skillet.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, I sear it in the skillet, and then I put the whole skillet and all the meat in the oven for like 8 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and then I take it out, and it's just this amazing, because sometimes you cook things on a grill. The grill that I have, now there's these Traeger grills, there's some
amazing
shit, and
yes.
I ain't got time for all that. I turn it on, I click, 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 and then if the bitch gets hot, and I cook it.
Funny you should mention that, because I took my friends to Rustic Farms yesterday, uh-huh. and... they had all their Traeger barbecues going off, and it smelled really good.
Yep.
And my friend was eating brisket and saying it was like the best brisket he's had in years, like stoked out of his mind.
Well, the trick is really the internal temperature. And sometimes with the grill, mm-hmm. you get it so hot. Like for me, when I would cook with the grill, I wanted flame. I was like, I just need to see fire. And I'm like, is it getting hot? I can't tell what's going on. But what happens is you get it so hot sometimes it forces the heat in so quickly that it boils the juice.
Oh, yeah. You need the juice to
you
keep
need the juice.
The meat moist.
Right. So you
flavorful and tender.
It's really about the sear and then bringing the center up mm-hmm. to a 125, 135, something mm-hmm. like that, slowly.
Mm-hmm.
That's the trick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Traegers are great because you can set the temperature and the time. But, you know, who's going to cook a steak for 5 hours?
Oh, you know what? I was in charge of doing Thanksgiving turkey, and this is before I spontaneously stopped eating meat. But I did a slow cook turkey. It took me like 3 days to do it. Not cook the turkey, but to like prepare it, because like, you do a rub and it needs to hang out in the rub for a couple of days, and then you slow cook it. And the idea is that you don't let the temperature get above the temperature of the meat that you want, so it won't overcook. And my younger sister doesn't like turkey, and she was like, this is the best turkey I've ever had. Mm. So I might be in charge of making turkey as long as it's in my house.
Well, you should also maybe try...
Even if I don't eat it?
Maybe you should try a brine.
Oh, brine's excellent, too. I used to brine chickens all the time. I used to be a full-on... Like, I love... Tom Colicchio wrote a cookbook that makes cooking meat really easy.
Yeah.
And delicious, like, because he used to be the chef at Gramercy Tavern in New York. I don't know if you've ever been there or heard of it.
No, but
they kind of know what they're doing.
Yeah, sounds big time.
It was delicious.
Well, we were in charge of cooking the turkey this year, and I soaked it in a bucket full of sugar and salt.
Yeah, it makes it so good.
Yeah, and then I shoved butter under the skin.
Yeah.
The freaking best turkey I ever had.
Sounds like you ate really well Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Brines are good.
Brines are good.
I do, I bake a lot of chicken in the oven. Mm-hmm. When you have three kids, you have to kind of make these, you have to feed them all. So you try to make things that you can.
You don't let them starve?
No.
You don't make them eat scraps off the floor?
No. But, you know, there was a time I gave them fish sticks. So I'm trying to be a better father, you know, trying to be a better provider as far as cooking and stuff. But, like, I'll take chicken and bake it in the oven and then slice it and make stuff like that. But it's all, you know, it's all about temperature. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I cook for a long time with no thermometer. Just cook it, put it in the oven. It's like always, what do I do? Put it at 350 for a half an hour. You're like, oh, okay. Put in whatever came out. You just ate and you were cool with it. But you learn, you know, as far as like taking temperature and checking things and stuff like that. It's very exciting.
You're dialed in.
I'm dialed in. And now I'm burned out.
Somebody order a pizza.
Well, and, you know, this whole COVID thing, I'm like, I'd rather cook for my family than eat out. We don't need these restaurants. But, you know, a couple months later, you're like, fuck cooking. I'm ready to go out.
Can you please cook for me? Yeah. Your food's really good.
Yeah. But there's a door where he just slides out. You just drive by and grab it. So the cookies, you think, and the...
potato chips
put that and much weight on you?
The lust for pizza.
And pizza.
The lust for pizza. The unscratched itch. I did a lot of TV watching, a lot of book reading.
So maybe just your lack of activity.
Yeah. And I'm sure, like, the feeling bad about how much butter I was eating didn't help.
Yeah.
I don't usually eat that much butter.
Did you have, like, anxiety and stuff through this?
I got waves. It depended. For the most part, no. And that's the other thing, too. Like, I doubled up on my therapy. Like, I was like, this is... Actually, it was the person I work with. It was his idea. He was like, everything is on hold. This is a great time to, like, clean some stuff out. I'm like, let's go. So I doubled up on that. And whenever I watched news or, like, saw stuff on social media and, like, that fear would go in and I'd be like, but I also was doing sound every night. So that wasn't, that, like, kept the channels pretty clear. So I had a lot of support. And I didn't pay attention to all the fear mongering. I just don't. I'm not interested.
Right. Well, it's a shame that that's where we've gone. You know, this competition, trying to make money. You know, that's what they're all doing. It's just clickbait and fear mongering.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
It's awful. I don't watch the news either. I have a news app I look at, and they clickbait all through that thing. You know, you're like, it just gives you enough for you to
right,
click
it. Right, kind of get a sense. Like, take the temperature. Because I also wanted to take the temperature, too, to find out who I was serving by doing the bowls every night. Like, what stories are in their head? What's, like, what kind of fear is running through? And, like, how can this be of service to allay those fears?
Right.
Or at least, like, bring them back to what's true right now is that peace and that. You know?
I know.
It's like we're sitting right on top of this.
Problem.
No, we're sitting right on top of the solution.
Well, but I mean, when there's a solution, there's problems not far away, right? Or we wouldn't be looking for the solution. It's kind of.
Oh, that's the piece, right? Yeah. Well, it's the belief that we are living in a material world and that we are separate and that we are...
Yeah, it's been a lot to think about, you know, because prior to this, we were just kind of bebopping along and everything was great.
But and were we? Were we?
No, we weren't.
We were, and like, I think, super busy not paying attention to ourselves.
Well, and, you know, people say, I can't wait till it gets back to normal. And I'm like, well, was it ever normal?
Right.
I mean, some parts of this, some of this shit that's been exposed, we should be ashamed of ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, this, I felt like it's kind of a gluttonous life.
Uh-huh.
And getting a beat. I mean, it ain't new. I mean, they've been talking about gluttony in the Bible. I mean, it's been around since the Bible. It's one of the deadly sins, gluttony.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this has been one of the kind of a disease of the gluttonous.
Mm-hmm.
If you're living, and I have, and continue sometimes to do, but I'm more aware of it today, but I've lived a life of that gluttonous, just overeating, no exercise, what makes me happy, avoiding everything that's inconvenient. And it's a toxic place.
It is toxic.
And, you know, I suffer, you know, to me today it's about the suffering, you know, even Monday through Friday is really about the suffering, you know, that's why we enjoy the weekend. Even if you love your job, it's still a job, it's still something we have to do. It's why we, you know, I come from a time where I wish every day was the weekend. And now I realize that I need to work. I need to do something other than what I want. Or I'm not happy. I'm miserable. I'm pointing out problems with other people, you know, and it's, I think that I was aware of that, I think, but I feel more aware of it now today. How quickly things can be taken away, you know, you know, with the grocery stores, you know, when all the toilet paper disappeared and, you know, I'm like fucking gluttonous assholes, you know, buying everything up. And then, you know, one day we show up and there's toilet paper. My wife's like, you take two, I'll take two. I'm like, it says two, there's the limit. Go to different lines. I'm like, okay, fine. You know, like how quickly I reverted back to being a gluttonous asshole. So it's tough. It's tough. Yeah, one day at a time or you could find yourself in a pickle.
I love it when you say pickle. It's been a proper conversation with Tom. He said pickle.
You know, you find yourself in a bit of a pickle. A sticky situation. Have you been helping people?
Helping people. Yeah. Every day. Every day.
Every day. How's your son? I mean, what's going on with the bowls? I mean, have you dropped your latest album?
No. Let's see. I did all of my recording right before COVID hit, and those got those were commissioned by DreamPod, the manufacturers of the float pod things. And so those are for sale online. I'd like to create more
Where is that? www.dreampod.com. Dreampod.com.
Kamalish. Oh.
Go on.
Yeah, so there are five long, like they're half hour tracks. And they're for floating,
right,
with floating in mind. And I'd like to write some more for Urban Float here in Rehoboth.
Yeah.
And what I'm looking into, what's coming through now is that I need to learn how to record myself. So I've been shown like the little preamp thing that I can get and put the microphones in. And
I have a preamp. There's a preamp right there. I have another one, an extra one.
That thing right there.
Yeah.
That red thing.
Everything that we plug stuff through. Yeah.
Record here.
Bring the bowls in.
I mean, listen, you know, you were podcasting. I mean, you get, you know, whether you want to continue doing that or don't continue doing that. But this is, you know, this is really, you know, these little machines, all this crap that I bought could stop somebody from doing, you know, a dream. I had a guy just call me. It's going to go viral. I got a podcast I want to do. It's going to be the biggest podcast. I'm like, okay, it sounds good, man. And it's going to be this and it's going to be that. And I got these. And I go, what do you need me for? And he goes, I need your equipment. I said, oh, I got that.
Yes, you do. And you're very generous with it.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing your equipment.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's that sparkle in a person's eye when they do something that they really, you know, to like a little mixing board right there to stop you from like at least trying out a dream.
Yeah.
I mean, that's terrible. So
right.
There's a mixing board. Now go for the dream. But we could, you know, we got four mics in there.
Yeah,
you do. How many mics do you need?
Oh, I think probably two or three. Because I need one right on me and then on the instruments, too.
Yeah, we can record. You should. No?
Yes, thank you.
You're smiling.
I know, because I love being in the recording studios. It's one of my favorite things. I love, 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 love.
I love having the studio.
Recording.
I was thinking somebody was called. So I had a guy call me last night. He's like, I got, you know, the best idea for a podcast. And I'm like, great. And I told him how much we charge here. And he's like, oh, that's nothing. I should pay you that every day. I'm like, do 10 podcasts. You know, do 5 podcasts with 5 people. He's like, it's going to be the biggest podcast. It's going to go viral. I'm like, that's awesome. But do 5 of them. Do 1 a week, you know. Do it consistently and then come and tell me how amazing it's going to be. Because it's easy to find a couple people, right?
Yeah.
It's when it starts getting into like 10 and 15 and 20 podcasts and you start to have a few people listening and starting to build an audience. And then all of a sudden it becomes like this thing. I know sometimes it's not easy for me. Like for the Robo Social podcast, for this podcast, I did 152 podcasts.
Wow.
And now I'm just like, if someone wants to do it, I'll do it. I'm focusing on the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast, but that have you heard that podcast?
No, I haven't.
That's an interesting one too.
Are you still podcasting with Tish?
Yeah.
You're still doing the Full Send?
Yep. We'll do
Broken
that.
Broken Stoked?
That's called In Too Deep now.
Oh boy.
Carlos took it over.
Oh.
Which is it's great. But that's our Pearl Jam podcast.
Oh.
But the I'm Sorry About Last Night is my journey to my life after getting sober. You know, when life really becomes unmanageable. I always say my life didn't become unmanageable until I got sober. Up until that, I just drank a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But that's been a fun podcast. I do that by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to worry about guests.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Eliminate the guest.
Eliminate the guest. I like the guest. I have somebody who I want to... I heard a story recently of somebody who lives in my neighborhood. And it's such a great story that I want to have a podcast on them. But I haven't asked them yet.
Well, ask them.
Do you want to do a little podcast with me?
Want a podcast with me, fella? Darling? Sure.
It's not like that.
No, I'm kidding.
I know.
I didn't mean to make it like that either. Well, it's, you know, if you want to try doing some recording in here, I've had some other people ask me if they can do, you know, we podcast, but that's not all that we can do with this. So if you want to record stuff, we'll do that.
Thank you.
You set them all up over here.
The bowls.
Or maybe we could sit, I don't know. Maybe you could just set them on the table and just set up on the table.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, one thing I've noticed, a lot of people doing, I've seen probably 3 different people now doing sound bowls.
Yeah. They're really popular.
I thought you were the only one that did it.
No, I've never been the only one. There have always been others.
Well.
Yeah.
I like thinking you were the only one.
Aw.
So now I'm like mad at them.
Don't be.
Get your bowls off of my Facebook feed.
No, everybody loves. I mean, like the bowls, people love the bowls. They're interesting. They're easy to play and people are into them. So.
What do you think of, it's been interesting watching people kind of evolve from, you know, pre or COVID to now, you know, through Zoom and all these different, you know, platforms to allow us, like Facebook Live,
mm-hmm.
Instagram Live, you know, all these yoga teachers are now on mm-hmm. on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's been interesting, right?
I think it's great because, I mean, their market completely opens up.
Right.
And I would imagine they'd have a lot more people. That's what I had a conversation with a woman today, and she said it was great because there was so much offering and there was no travel time.
Right.
You could just...
Do you think that makes people want to, like, less to getting back to some sort of normalcy? I feel like there's a bunch of people that would love to just kind of stay just like this.
Yeah.
Sick.
Oh, well, I think it's, I think a lot of us, and I'll put myself in, like, really enjoyed the pause, you know, and just not having the pressure to rush around and not having a full schedule and being able to refocus.
Yeah, absolutely.
On what's important, what works, where does my attention need to be, what needs to be cleared out.
Well, I had trouble getting going again. I was like, oh, you know, when this first started, I mean, every day about 4 o'clock, I would have this kind of this, like this anxiety that I, not even anxiety, but just a feeling that, you know, I have to work the next day. Like on Sundays, you're like, oh, I do have to work tomorrow. No biggie, whatever. But I would have that every day. And I'm like, oh, I just still don't have to work tomorrow. And then finally that started to fade away.
Mm-hmm.
And when we finally were told we were going to go back to work, I was like, oh, brother. So I'm like, oh, I'll only work until 2, you know, or I'll only work half a day or something.
Well, I think that shows that our work-life balance was really skewed, right? There was way too much work.
I think there's a lot of people out there doing things that don't make them happy.
Yes, I agree.
I watched is it Lisa Lin? Lisa Ling? I forget what her name is, but it's like one of these frontline or something. And she was talking to these people that... This girl had gone to college, went through all the way through law school, and couldn't get a job. You know, all these people out there that go to college and can't get a job doing what they went to school for.
Mm.
Can you imagine that? All that money she had $250,000 in school loans and couldn't get a job.
Yikes!
Can you imagine having that flavor sprinkled on the beginning of your life?
No, thank you.
Dragging that anchor around. I told my kids, man, go to hair school. Just be hairdressers. Just relax, work, have a great clientele, have your own business.
Mm-hmm.
Forget that.
Instant, look what you did for me this winter, right?
Right.
Instant, you changed my outlook.
Yep.
Very easily, very simply.
Yep. That's true.
And I felt brighter and happier. You lifted my...
Well, I'm a hair doctor. Without the Porsche. I need a Porsche.
Do you need a Porsche?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Unless you got one you're giving.
If I did, I would give
it
to you.
I would take a free Porsche.
Only if
it was
would.
Like with a whale tail and it was like super shiny. Don't bring me no broken down cheesy Porsche.
No.
So you're doing the sound bowls at the at Urban Float.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll do some sound bowl recording here.
Yeah.
But you're ready to start. You kind of get back with life.
Mm-hmm.
You feel good?
Yeah. I mean, I am open to practicing massage again. I'm not interested in doing the deep, like, work. I got to learn how to do Lomi Lomi when I was living out in Kauai. And that is, it's like a full-on spiritual experience, like, for both of us. Like, it takes on a life of its own, and, like, this, it just comes through, and there's just beautiful rhythm to it. So if I could do work like that, I could do that.
What is that? Happily. Does that help muscles?
Of course it does. It's like a full body. I mean, it's muscular, emotional, mental, spiritual. Like, it does the whole, it does it all.
So,
but I just don't want to be like, because I'm small framed and I don't like having to dig into somebody's body to release something at the expense of my own body.
Right.
Like, those days need to be done over.
So this is just a little less aggressive of sort of massage?
Yeah, the shift is different. It's not like focused on what's wrong and getting it out. It's like it's surrender. It's giving over to the whole process and letting like what comes through need to come through. It becomes like a dance.
I don't understand these deep, you know, these massages that are just so, you know, releasing. I don't get it. I mean, I've had massage. I don't find myself that jacked up where I need it so much.
Yeah.
Pressure. I don't know. Maybe it's people just at the level of pressure they need. I don't understand it.
I wish that were true across the board.
What happens to people that gets them so jammed up?
They're
not stretching.
I used to have all kinds of theories about that. I must have something to do with their perspective on life and how hard it is and how stressed.
It's weird. I get this. What is this? Your lat.
Mm-hmm.
So like sometimes you'll do something and my lat will tighten up, and I'll feel it lock, just, and then I'll pull it, and then it like releases.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what happens to the body? But in like small muscles that we don't really recognize that they're pulling, they're just locked up, and then you live that way, and then all of a sudden someone comes by and then releases it, and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like right now, I feel
good. Pretty good.
I mean, I could definitely take a massage.
Yeah.
But feel okay. Good. It's kind of like floating.
Yeah.
I could definitely float.
I'm fine.
Yeah, I feel okay. But I hear people like they, you know, things that are so locked up and they have to release them. And I'm just, mm-hmm. It's weird. Mm-hmm. I never heard of the kind of massage you're talking about. What's it called?
Lomi Lomi?
Lomi Lomi?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so beautiful.
You should start doing it. People be like, Lomi Lomi, that must be new.
No, it's not new.
Well, don't say that.
It's very old.
Say it's very new. Lomi Lomi.
People, I think there are Lomi Lomi practitioners around here. I've heard of people doing Lomi Lomi in town and stuff around.
Do you know Mark Thompson?
I used to work for Mark Thompson.
Yeah, I think he...
He was letting me do Lomi Lomi there.
He's a great... How's he doing?
I saw him on the boardwalk the other day. He looked great.
Good.
I love Mark.
Yeah, I love Mark.
He's such a great guy.
I was talking to my buddy James, and he said that they're, I guess, reopening.
Good. Yeah, massage got turned on a couple weeks ago.
Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. Well, listen.
Yep.
Are you listening?
I'm listening.
Good chat.
Yes.
When are you going to podcast? I've been waiting for your podcast.
Oh, dear.
Are you thinking about it still?
I would like to start podcasting again.
Well, just do it, okay? Don't worry about anything else. Just do your podcast.
Aww.
All right? I mean, don't worry about it.
You want them a little more gifted?
Well, I think you've done a lot of work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It needs to continue.
Well,
it just needs to take, like, the depth of the conversations. Can I talk about God on The Gifted? Because that's really what I want to talk about.
Did I give you any rules?
No, you didn't. I guess that's my own censoring. But, I want to hear stories of how people's lives have been touched. Like, the story that I want to tell you, or, like, that I want, the person that I want to get on, this person has a form of autism that he wasn't able to hold down a job for more than 2 to 3 weeks at a time. And then Rehoboth did the ordinances where you're not allowed to leave your receptacles out during the week. So that's a problem for out-of-state homeowners, right?
Right.
And so his mom came up with the idea that, you know, they're there year-round, and why don't they start a service in Rehoboth? And it went from 20 clients to now he has over 300. And the way his dad described it to him, it was like this perfect God-given job for him, like because his mind works that way. He remembers every single house, where the receptacle is supposed to go. And I love that there's something for everyone.
Yeah.
And I want that story. I want to tell that story.
Get him.
And so, and like, I know everybody has stories like that, whether they call it God or not, it doesn't matter. But like, everyone has a story something just being.
And I think, you know, you hear of God as also good orderly direction.
Exactly. Yeah. There's so many, it's infinite forms.
Should you want to talk? I'll come on there and talk God.
You will.
Hell yeah. I love talking me some God.
Do you?
Absolutely. Huh. I don't believe in him. But I pray every night to him.
Oh, wow.
So there's, you know.
There's that.
I have a huge relationship with God. Just not the God that I grew up with. Not this.
Yeah, me either.
I've always talked about Jesus and God and Santa. We're all like together. And they were only people I asked for shit from.
Yeah.
I need this. Fix this.
Yeah, yeah.
Bail me out of this. I'll never do this again.
All right.
And even just learning how to do the relationship with God rightly was like the big turning point in my life.
Yeah.
Rightly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a word. It's a big word. And, you know, when I stopped asking, I always say now it's about the attempt more than the outcome. Hmm. You know, we've talked about my son Sam having anxiety and how we pray about it. You know, it's the attempt. It's not the outcome. Praying, that's silly. Say it out loud, you know.
It's amazing how it changes, whether you believe it or not, your life changes.
Well, the fucked up part about the whole thing is it's all electronic response. I mean, an electric response in our body, right? Everything we do is some sort of electric pulse, you know, that's in our body. I like to say it's like a self-centered fear. I have this wall of self-centered fear that surrounds me, and if I address it and I have humility, the wall comes down and I become available for the message. But it's all still just electronic things. I mean, electric pulses. So people say, well, this is an electronic pulse from this or that. And I say, no, I think it's higher power. No, it's electric. Like, no, it's higher power.
Does it matter? Because it's infinite in its forms and it shows up however.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I saw this guy last night, and we'll go because we really pressed this one. But his shirt said, "No self, no fear."
Oh wow!
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's weird when you meet people like that. I didn't meet him, but when I saw that, and you know that there's people out there like that, because I think a lot of people suffer from self.
They do. You nailed it. That's what this whole conversation about it. I mean, that ties everything, all the conversations together. The meat, the guns, the mask thing.
Yep.
All of that is
self.
Self, small self with a little s.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, have me on your podcast. I'll come. We'll talk God.
Oh.
All right, Julie, you are awesome. I appreciate you coming on. Good chat.
Thanks.
Glad
for
you made
me
it
on.
Through it. Lost your COVID-15. Looking good.
Thanks.
Loving life.
Yes.
All right, dear. I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, please.
Bye.
Bye.